I was staying with a friend in Malvern and we were going to go and see, I'm sure it was Jethro Tull, because I can remember going up Church Street in Malvern. The band were walking down the road and they came into the same cafe we were in, and they were writing all over our history books, and we all got into trouble. And our history books contained things about Jethro Tull and the Sea Drill, which they thought was highly amusing.
My friends that I went with were glass collectors at the Winter Gardens because it was a way for them to earn money and free entry, obviously. Because they were glasses collectors, they knew that you could go backstage afterwards. So if you just waited after the concert, so the concert was fantastic. I loved the Rich Kids because it was because that was Midge and Steve Rusty. That's right, because that was the guy, that was the group that had Glenn Matlock in from the Sex Pistols. So these friends had said to me, "You can if you stay after the concert, they'll let you in backstage." So I stayed after the concert and I had my blue trench coat on, and I had a badge of Eddie and the Hot Rods with the it has like a they have like Mickey Mouse ears on them. So I had an Eddie and the Hot Rods badge. And I remember going round backstage at the Winter Gardens and I met Midge, I met Rusty Egan, I met Steve New, met Glenn Matlock, and even just as exciting, Mick Jones was there from The Clash because he's a big mate of Glenn Matlock. So Mick Jones was there with his feet up and we went around getting their autographs, and I remember Steve New saying, "Oh, what's your badge?" And I was going, "Oh, I hid it." I said, "Oh no, it's obviously Eddie and the Hot Rods." But I thought he was lovely, Steve New. Interestingly, he wore more of a New Romantic type stripy jumper thing, so and he had longer hair, so he wasn't very punk. Really, they weren't very punky, but I just loved it. And Mick Jones, I had to step over his legs to get round the backstage. So it was just, yeah, it was really exciting because you're there. Who would know that a girl, what was I in 78? I was 15. Who would say a girl of my age would have that experience at 15? In my mundane existence, it was, wow, how exciting is this? It was a bit of rock and roll, wasn't it? In my quiet life.
Once the gig had finished, you could hare around to the stage door and you could get in and they would sign your ticket for you or sign your records, that sort of thing.
I remember one day some guys saying, "We've got to leave school early because Iron Maiden were playing." I didn't go that time and I said, "Why are you leaving early? They're not on till like 8 o'clock." They said, "Yeah, but they'll be in town, the tour bus will arrive and they'll be walking around town." Of course, hadn't occurred to me. So what did I do after that? When I'd got tickets to see a band, or there was a band in town that I hadn't got tickets for or whatever, yeah, go into town. We soon learnt that they always stayed at the Abbey Hotel. You knew what time they'd arrive, you knew they'd do a sound check, and after that they'd be loafing around and finding somewhere to have dinner. So I can remember one day the Undertones arrived. So we hung around until they'd finished the sound check. Never crossed my mind, was not my idea, but I soon went along with it. Was go and tell them it was sold out and we couldn't get a ticket and we really wanted to get in. I can't remember why I hadn't got tickets. It wasn't sold out. And I mean, I think that at that time the Undertones were quite sweet, innocent boys as well, and they immediately put us on the guest list. We all got on the guest list and we spent all afternoon with them in Priory Park, just hanging out. And then when they came back again, we were really naughty and we did the same thing. They didn't remember us and we did exactly the same thing. But it's the only two gigs I'd done that for.
I was walking down Avenue Road. I got to Barnard's Green and a very battered kind of like camper van pulled up and this guy jumped out and said, "Where's the Winter Gardens, love?" And I said, "If you go up there." And it was Jet Black from the Stranglers.
Ian Curtis of Joy Division. I was lucky enough to meet him that night backstage. Went backstage and got a couple of things signed. And it was only literally a month or so later, when we'd heard that he'd took his own life, that it transpired that he'd tried to take his own life previously by taking a drugs overdose, and that was the day after the Malvern gig, the Sunday. So the following day, the Malvern gig was on the Saturday night, the 5th of April. On the 6th, he took a drug overdose and tried to kill himself. So when I look back and seeing, you know, the chap who was sat there, you know, friendly, chatting away, you know, it was that was poignant.
We were actually helping out at Cherry Red at that time. We used to sell tickets for the bands at our school, which was Hanley Castle High School. I'd got into the gig early because we obviously were working there, so we used to be there before anyone else was allowed in. And we were stood in the bar area, and I turned around and there was Billy Idol right behind me, who was someone that I thought was brilliant at the time. And yes, it made my knees go quite weak, I must say, because he was so beautiful. And I just remember the white skin and the white hair, and he looked stunning.
I met the bass player of The Cure, who was kind enough to take my records backstage and get them signed. That's another thing about Malvern which sticks in my mind. It wasn't always the case, but there never seemed to be any security as such. But there always seemed to be a row of interlocking, kind of like school chairs, and that was a kind of makeshift guest area, I suppose. It was just down the right-hand side of the room. So, you know, if you stepped over the chairs, people would say, "Oi, mate, you know, get back your own side," kind of thing. And often, when a support band had played, you'd sometimes see members of the support acts, you know, behind that row of chairs. And if they were nice enough, or at least if you recognised them in the low light, you could go and talk to them. And that's exactly what I did after The Cure had gone off. Saw this guy walking not very far from where I would, and it was Mike Dempsey, the bassist of The Cure. And I'd got a couple of records with me, and I said, "Hello, Mick, would you mind signing these for me?" But he took the records backstage and got the other two members of the band to sign the records.